morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, I am pleased to have licensed clinical social worker Caitlin Stecker with us. Caitlin has been in private practice over 30 years in the Astoria area. She's a national and international trainer of therapists in the IFS, Internal Family Systems Method of Therapy, as well as a psychodramatist and a ritual maker. Good morning, Caitlin. Thank you for making time to speak with us today.
Oh, my. I'm a person who's sitting in the middle of the forest these days and appreciating being able to be in such beauty in the midst of all of what we're experiencing, continuing to be able to have contact with the people that I love and want to be able to be with, especially a lot over Zoom, which I'm learning about and learning about the energetics of, but appreciating that we have it at this time, even though I am very much a body-oriented psychotherapist and believe that much of the healing that happens within our own bodies by being in relationship to other people who are also in their bodies incarnate in this life. And so I'm looking forward very much, again, of course, to the time when we can be together in the ways that allow for healing and connection through body. But it's amazing what we're able to do in between. I've been very moved by the connection and the healing that's been happening over phones and again, computer and Zoom and all of the rest of it. I guess what I would say is that probably the biggest thing right now is just being able to try to support the people that I know and love and be able to offer some ways like we hopefully will be able to do in the next minutes and share how to be able to navigate through this perhaps in a little bit more graceful way.
Yes, no matter who we are all affected by this, and certainly in different ways. You and I had a discussion yesterday about, and I read this on the internet, and I thought it was such an excellent analogy, and that is that when people say, oh, we're all in the same boat, it's like, no, this person said, no, we're all in the same storm, but every one of us has a different boat. Some people are in yachts. Some people are on rafts or in tiny canoes. So everyone's having a different experience, but everyone is in some way, you know, filled with some angst about what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, for sure. I think that no matter what, this experience is asking us to be with the grief and loss of this time and what's happening, no matter what. I mean, there is obviously huge change and huge loss to the ways that we've lived before and our routines and the things that became so habitual and almost, you know, the way in which we do things in an unconscious way is being disrupted in this time. And so that's having a huge impact on everyone, especially in the ways of challenging the strategies that we developed early in our life for dealing with times when we are overwhelmed and our coping isn't able to match the experience we're having. And so that's one of the things that I really want to be able to share with people is just the appreciation and having compassion for ourselves in that no matter what our ways of caring for ourselves and taking care of ourselves are more difficult. And as you said, it's going to be different for different people. And there's no one, I don't believe at this point on the planet that's able to control everything so explicitly that they can actually keep themselves from feeling that.
So it's an illusion that we were living in certain times or that we had control of things.
Well, yeah, I think that that's, isn't that a core premise of almost all the spiritual traditions on the earth, that this idea that, we really are not the ones in control ultimately, and that to me, one of the really great, challenges and then gifts of life, if we're able to work with the curriculum that we're given, is that we can really say, yes, this is life. It's really designing itself through me. And how do I respond to it? And I've been working a lot with my groups the last month or so on being able to forgive life for being what it is. And in order to do that, it really is about being able to grieve what doesn't happen the way we want it to happen, being able to really allow that there are ways in which we experience loss that can feel at times overwhelming. And that's a really big, that's been a really big theme for me in my healing and in my own personal work as well as professional work, of just the importance of being able to make room in our life for grief. And this experience of all of the change and disruption certainly is bringing that right up into awareness, up right in front of our nose, as we say.
You're right, because in the past, we perhaps had these old strategies that we used to distract ourselves and keep ourselves busy so that we didn't have to experience the loss, which is inevitable in every life. And now those same outlets are not available to us, so suddenly we're having to look within more and to question who, perhaps on a deeper level, who am I? How am I flowing with this life?
Well, yeah, and that's again what I'm hoping that, we can offer to ourselves and each other right now is a kind of, a really wisdom and a compassion around just what it is that we are being asked, to deal with, and that our old, they're not old strategies, but our ways of being, our ways that, again, just being a child is overwhelming at times, right? I mean, there are inevitable times when we're not able to really cope, and we experience that. And unfortunately, in our culture, we have some fairly pejorative words that we use to describe that experience of a child, meltdown and temper tantrums and things, which actually most often are literally just our coping strategies being overwhelmed. We don't have the capacity to really process what's happening and stay present with it. And so those experiences are really, really difficult for anyone, and that sense of powerlessness that happens. So we develop ways of trying to take care of it. Like you say, we distract ourselves in all kind of various ways. We try to get ahead of it and order and control our lives. We try to find ways that will assure that nothing's going to happen and blindside us, that nothing's going to, be more than we can handle. And often we can live our whole life in that coping process and not even realize that that's what's driving our experience. But also, again, to have compassion for ourselves, because that sense of powerlessness is really the core experience that our psyche does not want to experience.
And that's what we're all now having to look at, is this inability to plan, to have whatever control we thought we might have had, and to just flow with it. And I think you're talking about how children have temper tantrums. Well, adults too, where people are frustrated, people are angry, people are sad, people feel, isolated and locked in. And so we're seeing all kinds of behaviors, you know, develop now. So how can we negotiate this this difficult time more skillfully?
Yeah, I have to share with you, though, as you were speaking, I know this is kind of strange, association, but I just watched the movie Ford versus Ferrari, I have to say, I highly recommend it, but there's a particular scene where the one guy takes Henry Ford Jr., or I guess the second he is, anyway, out into a race car, basically to try to let him know how important it is, you know, who the driver is in the outcome of a race. However, what he does is just take him around the track at inordinately high speeds and zipping around the corners. And I was just so struck because when they stop, this man that had up to that point been all about bravado and his being in control and having, you know, his ideas of how things are supposed to go, and he just breaks into sobbing and is just totally like a young boy in that moment. And it just was so powerful for me in thinking about, you know, that in some ways that's what's happening for all of us, and like you say, our different boats, that, you know, this experience is just whipping us around and taking us into speeds and experiences of being out of control in ways that then, you know, it's like we're just left with the most tender young parts of ourselves. And, you know, often they're scared, you know, and underneath a lot of our ways of, you know, again, organizing our lives are really parts that are again, in touch with the scare and the overwhelm that we experience as a kid. And if we didn't have a chance to have somebody be with us and help us with that and being able to, in a sense, teach us how to be with ourselves in that, then we do everything we can to stay away from it. But in this time now, it's very obvious that there are many things that we can't control to allow that sense of having power over to protect us. We are left inside in these very vulnerable parts. So to be able to have compassion, and like you say, because of that, then people's, you know, reactions often are crabbiness and overwhelm and just their own ways as adults that, you know, are really young children inside trying to communicate that sense of powerlessness. So one of the things that I'm really wanting to convey to people is the importance, and I know it's the simplest thing, but I hope everyone can hear me say, if there's one thing you can do, it's breathe. And to breathe with intention, and especially to extend your exhalation. Any time you can offer that to yourself through any of these days, as many times as you can, will have an enormous impact on your whole nervous system. And it will allow your physical body and your consciousness to have an opportunity to experience perhaps a moment of safety in your body. That extending of your exhalation allows for a release and a way in which, I won't go into the technical of the vagus nerve and all, but it is a way in which we're able to actually access that feeling of safety in our body. Mm. So, actually, if it's all right with you, Donna, I want to share this poem that I've been working with that kind of says it all, and it was written several years ago. So it's kind of interesting how much it fits for right now. Is it okay if I read that now?
Absolutely. Why don't I do a quick station ID first, and then we'll have you read the poem. Is that all right with you?
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Okay. So if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns, and through the wonders of technology and Dylan Hauserschalk, we have a phone interview today with Caitlin Stecker. She is a licensed clinical social worker in private practice for over 30 years in the Astoria area. She's also a national and international trainer of therapists in the IFS, Internal Family Systems Method of Therapy. She's a psychodramatist and a ritual maker. And Caitlin, you have a poem to share with us now.
Yeah, it's just kind of been a signature way of experiencing maybe what's happening. And right now, many people are talking about how poetry seems to be the medium that could speak to what we're needing to, you know, be with better than almost anything, and especially because our kind of thinking minds are, again, kind of being a bit overwhelmed. So the title is Allow, and it's a poem by Dana Faulds, F-A-U-L-D-S, and she says, "There is no controlling life. Try corralling a lightning bolt containing a tornado. Dam a stream, and it will create a new channel. Resist, and the tide will sweep you off your feet." This is my favorite line. "Allow, and grace will carry you to higher ground. Allow, and grace will carry you to higher ground. The only safety lies in letting it all in. The wild and the weak, fear, fantasies, failures, and successes. When loss rips off the doors of the heart, or sadness veils your vision with despair, practice becomes simply bearing the truth. In the choice to let go of your known way of being, the whole world is revealed to your new eyes."
That is beautiful and timely. And how do you feel people are going to be able to see with new eyes? Do you think we're going to go back to normal, which I can't imagine that we can go back to whatever we consider normal, but how can we use new eyes in a new landscape?
Well, I think that's, that is going to be, in a sense, each person's personal journey. And for some, it'll be a really deeply spiritual journey in how do we respond to this? If we continue without, and maybe I hope our little time together right now might be able to give people the opportunity to consider, don't we want to make the best of what's happening to us? Don't we want to use this for something good? And I get very moved by that, just because of the loss and losses that I've experienced recently. What's left sometimes is, what will we do with what remains, and how will we make good of it? And so to do that, however, as she says in the poem, we have to be able to bear the truth. We have to be able to actually let ourselves know the truth of what it is we're experiencing. And that, again, is a totally personal journey. And then what it means to us, what the parts of us make of it, what's the meaning that our system makes of what's happening to us. And for many of us, as I said, it throws us into our early experiences of vulnerability. And often, as a kid, we decided that what was happening to us was happening because there was something wrong with us, and that we weren't worthy of good things. And this gives us a chance possibly to, it's like re-decide about that, that if we can take the time to be with, where did we get those ideas? Because we weren't born with ideas that we're not worthy of having full, vital lives. That's not how we were born. Those are things we took on by the experiences that we had. And so this, without us deciding to sign up for this particular training program, but maybe we did, this is giving us the chance to perhaps redecide about what it all means. And can we be with those young ones in us, those vulnerable experiences and feelings, and be able to really have the fuller vision of that we can be with that experience, and we do have the capacity to cope and to experience it and be with the fear and the confusion, that we actually have that capacity if we can turn toward it. It's painful. It's scary. Our whole system says don't go there, but we can. And one of the major things, again, that I'll say is we can breathe our way through almost anything. And to be able to actually, on purpose, when we experience that sense of overwhelm or powerlessness, to just offer our breath to whatever the feeling is that feels so big in us. And to imagine it as a young child that we could sit down next to and say, I'm here with you. And my clients know that in those moments I offer the being able to say, I'm you, all grown up, come back to help you. And that we can say that to those young aspects of ourselves that are carrying times of overwhelm that didn't get fully metabolized in our bodies. So they're still in our nervous system, and experiences like this will bring those up. And it's okay, because it's our chance to heal them. It's our chance to connect with them.
Yes, and the breathing, the extending the exhale, that is a wonderful and important suggestion. And also, I know that you have recommended that people, when they've had a bad experience, a blow, something that has taken them maybe by surprise, or they have some terrible toxic emotion that's happening, that you can shake. You can use your body to do a lot of shaking, and that will shake off a lot of this energy. So physically doing things is a very important part of healing during this time.
That's so cool, Donna, that you are remembering that and bringing that, because it is. That's absolutely true. It would have been sad to forget that we can help the body move that energy and release that energy. And so absolutely, shaking, and of course, I mean, over and over again, Bill Maher, I don't know if anybody listens to him real time, but he actually was suggesting people go out into nature as a way of being with what's happening. I thought that was just a wonderful opportunity to have even someone who's, you know, involved in many heady things to know that right now that, and we are blessed that this is happening at a time of year where we can go out. And I know we can't go out in all the places, but we can go in our backyards. We can go, you know, and stand at our windows and open the window. And we can have that sense of life offering itself to us, and the wisdom of the earth and nature that can be incredibly calming to our body. And if you have the possibility, and it could work, to literally lay down with your belly on the earth and just imagine that you can actually hear the heartbeat of the earth. And honestly, people over all history of time have connected with the earth as a way of feeling secure and safe in their bodies. And so even just, again, sitting on a bench somewhere, if there's one available, again, whatever place we might be able to connect with life and the life force that our body feels safe in relationship to.
Yes, I try to always put my feet, my bare feet on the earth for that electromagnetic energy, and to just reconnect with the earth through bare feet, and that's another wonderful practice. At this time, a lot of people are experiencing being alone in ways that they never have, and of course, there's a big difference between loneliness and solitude. And solitude actually can be a good thing. And it can, when you're hiking in nature, for example, you feel connected, even though you're not with a lot of people. There's some kind of connection there that we can't really name and understand because we are nature. And so how would you advise perhaps folks who are not used to spending so much time by themselves alone, whether they look at it as loneliness or solitude, which offers an actual opportunity to perhaps go more deeply into self?
Yeah, I think it. I appreciate again your wisdom and what you're sharing, and it gives me the opportunity to just offer that so much of say the difference between how we experience it really comes from, do we believe that life is for or against us? And it's not a just dualistic, often either or, but it can feel that way sometimes. But I think, I guess what I'm wanting to, again, offer and ask people to consider that it's a time to really say, do you believe that life is benevolent, that it wants good for you, even when the most painful, hard things are happening, and that there is a benevolence?
Yes.
And there is in that experience, if we can find a way to perhaps touch into that and also help any aspects of us that don't believe that anymore, that somehow had that trust in life interrupted and taken from us by the experiences we had, to be able, again, like we would if we adopted a young child that had gone through a lot of adversity and difficulty, that we would gently offer that perhaps life can be different now, that we're there and we'll be willing to be with.
Yes, comforting ourselves. And, Caitlin, I don't even believe it. We only have a couple of minutes left. This has gone by so quickly. We could talk for a much longer time.
No.
And so if any last little thing, we just have about a minute or so here. But, oh, my gosh, thank you so much for making this time to have this conversation so significant and important.
Well, I do have something just to share in this last minute, and that is, again, a little prayer that I share with my clients and my friends that is so fitting for right now, and it's very simple. It's, I give thanks for help unknown already on the way. I give thanks for help unknown already on the way. And just to offer that possibly there is help coming for us, that if we can really give ourselves that sense of trust and be open to the grace that wants to offer itself to us, even in the most difficult times.
Thank you so much, Caitlin. Thank you. And the 1,000-year-old cherry tree blossomed in Japan. So, yes, there is grace and beauty in the world still. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this morning, Caitlin. Thank you very much, Dylan Hauser-Schock, for your amazing technological expertise. And I hope that you all will take that moment right now. Oh, and my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. I'm not sure we were able to play it even, but it is wonderful. And so until next week, remember to take that deep breath. I don't know if we have a minute right now, but how about if you take a very big deep breath with a long exhalation as soon as the show is over, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being you, doing the best you can, for being here now in this moment, the only moment that exists, the now moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.